Okay, if you've been around for a little bit, you may remember that there were a few times I asked you to do something a little uncomfortable. And the first time you kind of looked at me as if we were from different planets, but you did it. Second and third time, I believe, was way much better and you had some fun. So I thought I'll make you feel a little uncomfortable today as well. It's nothing too bad, okay? But I'm going to ask you if you would turn to your left and say to the person to your left, "It is great to be known." Okay, that's a good start. You guys doing well. Now let's turn to the other side and tell the person on your other side, "It's great to be known." Whew, that's going to help me a lot. Good. If I were to ask you this morning to describe your relationship with God, what word would summarize it? What image may come to mind first when you think of your relationship with God? I'm sure that some images will pop up, like maybe a parent or father and son, maybe someone who is in need and a provider, maybe a physical struggle and a healer, sustainer, savior, judge, light, comforter. And so the list would go on. You see, our relationship with God is so unique. It's like no other relationship. In fact, I believe that our human relationships reflect in different ways our relationship with God in the first place. But our relationship with God is unique in that God is God and we are humans. And that's just one relationship of a kind. This morning I want to talk to you about one of the most fascinating images that portray God and His people in their relationship. We will find out that this is a very simple, but also a very profound image. It's one of the most beautiful ways in which our relationship with God is described in the Bible. It's an image that helps paint for us a picture of who God truly is and how God relates to us as His people. Now, if you've been around, you know that I'm a big proponent and defender of the idea of context. That we read Scripture and interpret and understand God's Word in context. Because this is just the way God designed it to be read and understood and interpreted. It's not a very good practice to just take a verse from here and verse from there and say this is what the Word of God says. Because it's written and its integrity is in the text and in the context. And so to be true to myself and my own conviction, but also true to God's Word and true to you, I'm going to go back just a step before I get to our text that we're going to look into today. We're going to be in the Gospel of John. Mike, it's going to be from the Bible. Yeah. Right. Mike always asks me, "What are you going to be preaching from?" I say, "From the Bible." So we have a game with Mike every Sunday I preach. So I'm going to go back to John chapter 9 and just introduce a little bit of the story. And I really encourage you. I mean, I don't know how to say it otherwise, but I really encourage you when you go back home, read John chapter 9. It's just a fascinating, wonderful story, the whole chapter. And it even has an element of somewhat of a comedy in it. But it's just brilliant, brilliant chapter the Gospel of John. And so the Gospel of John chapter 9 tells us about a miraculous healing. In a brief summary, Jesus heals a man. He gives back the sight to a man who was born blind. And this, of course, triggers all kinds of reactions, just like a lot of the miracles of Jesus, just like a lot of his teachings. There's a variety of reactions that he receives. And so the man himself is restored to well-being. The people who knew that man from before, they are quite confused. In fact, when they see him as a different person now, able to see, they cannot quite believe that it's actually him. They think it's someone else who just looks like him. It's so incredible. It's dramatic transformation that they're witnessing, and it's hard to believe. The Pharisees, that religious group, a very strict and stern religious leaders, they themselves are divided in their judgment as to what to make out of all this. And so they call the man that was just healed, and they start questioning him. How did this happen? Who did it? What are the circumstances? What did you say? What did they say? Just all the questions to figure it out. And then they end up getting really mad with him, and they kick him out of the synagogue. Now, that's quite of a story. You get healed, and you get kicked out. It's an interesting twist in the story. But the parents of the healed man are afraid that there might be some repercussions for them because they see that the Pharisees are not very happy about all this. And so Jesus goes back and finds the man and speaks with him. Jesus clarifies for him what has just happened, and he helps the man understand who Jesus is. And so the text towards the end of the chapter tells us that the man responds to Jesus by saying, "Lord, I believe." And then the text tells us he prostrates himself and pays homage to Jesus. And at that point, some of the Pharisees overhear this and they again react negatively to what they hear and see. And so, in fact, in what follows in chapter 10 is the way Jesus addresses the Pharisees more specifically. I'm sure the healed man was still around and the disciples of Jesus, maybe some other people, but just so we could understand the dynamics of what Jesus is going to say, he is talking primarily directly addressing that group of Pharisees. And so here's what Jesus tells them. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they will not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Let us pray. And now, dear God, we hear that they did not understand it, but our prayer this morning is that we would understand, that you open our minds to understand, that you open our hearts to receive, and through the Holy Spirit, that you help us live out what we hear and learn today. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Help us reflect together. Help us understand your word. Make it a living reality in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the Pharisees have excluded the healed man from their synagogue and their fellowship as if they had the authority to determine who does and who doesn't belong to the covenant people of God. And here Jesus compares their actions as the actions of thieves and robbers. He's exposing their selfishness, their evil intentions, their desire to control, their lack of spiritual discernment. They see what Jesus is doing, but they're missing the point. They're missing the obvious. They fall short in their understanding and interpreting the healing of the blind man. They don't see that this is God's intervention. They don't understand that this is the manifestation of God's power in revealing who Jesus is and affirming who Jesus is. They miss that opportunity to recognize that Jesus is the actual Messiah that they themselves have been waiting for centuries. They fail to understand that Jesus is the fulfillment of all these prophecies that have been given about the coming of the Messiah. Though all these prophecies that they so dearly expected to become reality, and they just missed it. It's just like you go to a train station and the train just left and it's gone and you just missed it. It's an interesting contrast. The man was blind, but now he sees. Not only that, but this becomes an image of a spiritual transformation that happens with him. Whatever things he didn't understand about God and about Jesus, he now understands. He says, "Lord, I believe." And on the other hand, you have the Pharisees who are supposed to be the leaders of the people. They're supposed to understand. They're supposed to help people on their spiritual journey with God in understanding their faith. And they act as if they were blind. The people that were supposed to see are blind. It's just an interesting reversal. And it is here that Jesus introduces this image of a shepherd and a flock of sheep. Jesus describes himself as a shepherd. A little further into the chapter, he would pronounce one of those big statements that are known as the I am statements in the Gospel of John. There's a number of them. I am, and Jesus announces something. And here we have a statement a little further in chapter 10. I am the good shepherd. And then his people are like sheep. And so I want us to look into this image so we can explore together what it reveals about God himself. What it reveals about the way in which God relates to his people. Now, Jesus introduces this stark contrast between the thieves and robbers and the shepherds of the flock. The thieves and robbers, they have evil intentions. They don't care about the flock. They don't care about the sheep. They only care to come and steal and harm. They only care for their own gain, their own enrichment at the expense of the sheep, at the expense of the true shepherd. They don't come in through the door. In fact, they climb over the fence. They jump over a wall. They use a treacherous scheme to take advantage. When you think about this, Jesus clearly speaks about the Pharisees themselves. Today, unfortunately, we see a lot of this happening as well. We go to different Christian circles and places where leaders are exploiting people, taking advantage of people, using their positions and roles to control, to manipulate, to enrich themselves materially. It's just enough to you turn on some of the Christian TV networks and you would be able to see a score of them using, taking advantage of people's vulnerability, people's sickness, people's fears and anxieties, people's false images of God, people's false aspirations for life. And they would enrich themselves at the expense of people. It's one of the saddest reality in our Christian world today. The shepherd enters by the door. His intentions are pure. He is there to care. He is there to lead. He is there to provide. He is there to heal. He is there to restore. He is there to protect. And the sheep hear his voice. But the text tells us what I find to be the most fascinating part. He calls his own sheep by name, verse 3. You see, a shepherd would normally become very familiar with his sheep. It's estimated, it's considered that an average size flock back then may have well been around 100 sheep. In fact, as I was thinking about this, I couldn't help but think of that parable of Jesus where he talks about a shepherd, a farmer that had 100 sheep and one was lost and he went after the lost one until he found it and came back. It's just interesting that he's using that number as a orientation in his story. Say, yeah, just someone had 100 sheep. Maybe that was a standard thing, a normal thing to have around 100 sheep, give and take. But look at the way Jesus describes the relationship of the shepherd with his sheep. Jesus says he calls his own sheep by name. He calls his own sheep by name. The sheep belong to him. They are his possession. He has ownership over them. I think we could easily call it the ownership. I'm glad you got that. I know Mike will remind me about this for a while. How close, how intimate is that relationship that we have with God? He is the true shepherd, and he calls you his own. You belong to him. You see, God's intimacy with his people and his flock is not a novelty. This is not something really new. The Jewish people were very familiar with this idea and with this image. Jesus, in fact, is using an Old Testament image that people were familiar with and the Pharisees knew so well. Just to take one example, the prophet Isaiah, among others, in Isaiah chapter 40, says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." I know that there are moments in our lives when we don't quite feel so close to God. I know there are moments when you question if God is anywhere near. But Jesus calls us his own. If you ever stepped away from God for any reason, maybe you just decided you don't want to quite follow the path of Christianity or being a Christ follower for a while. You wanted to try something else or go a different direction in life. Or maybe you got into some habitual sin or something like that that estranged you from God. I want to encourage you this morning that God never stepped away from where you left him. He's always there. He calls you his own. But that's not all. Jesus also says that the shepherd calls his own sheep by name. He calls his own sheep by name. Now, I don't know if you've been around animals. I don't know if you have any experience with animals. Maybe some of you were born on a farm and lived there and you have some experience. Last year, we went with our son on a field trip to a farm. This was a first grade school organized visit. And sure enough, there was the farmer. He was showing us around the different things on the farm and pointing to different animals. And he was describing each animal for the kids. He was telling us about each animal. He was telling us about the character of each animal. He was telling us each animal's name. They were milking a cow, and the cow had a name. And that's how Jesus describes the way he knows each one of us, so directly, so personally, so deeply, so intimately. You see, God is familiar with you. He holds a strong affection for you. You don't ever get lost in the crowd. Each one of us is a part of the flock, but the shepherd knows you individually as well. You really don't need a name tag to be known and to be recognized as part of God's flock. God knows each one of us by name. And I need your help again here. If you turn to your left and tell that person to your left, say, "It's great to be known." Hey, how about you turn to your right now and say, "It's great to be known." It is great to be known. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He tells us more. Verses 3 and 4, he says, "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them." Those that God knows, he leads. Those that God knows, he leads. He goes before those with whom he is in a relationship. In the Old Testament, the shepherd was an image that was used to describe a leader of people and his role. The shepherd leads the sheep and shows them the direction. In fact, sheep in particular need that. Without such leadership, they tend to wander off. They tend to get lost. Other animals may be driven from behind. They can be pushed from behind and channeled to go forward. But from what I'm told, if you try to do this with sheep, they would just turn around and try to get back behind you. Isn't that interesting? I think it's not a coincidence that Jesus is using that image of a shepherd and his sheep, specifically that animal. By taking them out and leading them, the shepherd takes them to the pastures. He's taking care of them. He's taking them where he can provide for them. This is a picture of what God is doing for you and for me. When you feel discouraged, when you feel like you've lost your way, remember that those that God knows, he leads. God is like a shepherd who takes you out and leads the way before you. That leading position of the shepherd is all important for the sheep. But there is one more critical piece that Jesus brings up in addressing the Pharisees. I will summarize it in two words and I'll talk about it. Voice recognition. Voice recognition. Verse 3 tells us the sheep hear his voice. In verse 4, Jesus says, for they know his voice. You see, the shepherd leads in front, but ultimately, it is the voice of the shepherd that plays a critical role. I bet you if you went and stood by a shepherd and you took his staff and his garments and dressed like a shepherd and you stood in front of sheep, they will not follow you just because you look like a shepherd. Because they need to hear your voice. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice, and that means a lot. For one thing, it means that the voice of the shepherd could be heard. God is a shepherd, speaks, and his voice can be heard. You see, God is not absent. He is not distant. He is not silent in any way. I think sometimes we have a problem not so much with God not speaking, but with us not hearing what God is saying. But sheep have the ability to learn to recognize the voice of their shepherd. And this invites for one of the most frequently asked questions around when people say, well, how does God speak? How can I hear his voice? I believe if you've taken the Alpha course, I believe there was a session on God speaking and how does God speak. Is that right, Andy? I remember that. How does God speak? How can I hear God's voice? And I have to submit to you that this is a big subject. I don't think we can presume that we can cover this subject in a few minutes this morning. But what I'm going to do, I want to suggest to you one thing. As I was reflecting on this, I realized that in our day and age, we have become way too concerned about the actual way of hearing God's voice rather than about the message that that voice includes. In other words, we're way too concerned about the process of the how of God speaking rather than the content and the message that he's giving us. And I think in part that was the problem of the Pharisees themselves, because they were so much concerned about when Jesus healed someone. Was it on a Sabbath? Was it at this hour or that hour? How he did it? What did he say? How did he do it? But they missed the whole point. They missed what Jesus actually did, what he actually said. And so this morning I want to suggest to you one thing. Among others, I want to suggest to you that God has already spoken. Think with me about this for a second. God has already spoken. I remember our retired Pastor George one time told me about this what would Jesus do thing. You've heard of that. What would Jesus, this bracelets and whatnot, say? WWJD, what would Jesus do? And George told me, well, that's a nonsense. It should be, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus already do? He already did it. He already accomplished something, and we can rely on that already. I think sometimes we're asking the wrong question. But I would say that God has already spoken. He has spoken first through everything he created. And then he has spoken through individuals throughout all of human history. And then he has spoken at the culmination of human history with the coming of Jesus, in the person of Jesus. God spoke to us through the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us that in Him resided the fullness of God. In other words, if you've seen Jesus, if you've heard what He had to say, you know everything that you can know about God. Because He Himself was God in human flesh. 100% God and 100% human. That is the mystery. In the person of Jesus, God spoke to us already. But then also, God has already spoken in His written word, the Bible. And you may be thinking right now, well, but I want to hear God's audible voice. I want to hear like God is talking to me. And God has done this. He's done it in the past. He may decide according to His free will and sovereignty to do it again and speak to you with an audible voice. No one can restrict the way God would speak to us. But let me suggest to you with the words of someone who said, if you want to hear God speaking to you with an audible voice, just read your Bible out loud. I'll let this sink in for a second. You're not very fast this morning, guys. Just read your Bible out loud. You see, God's voice can be heard, just like the shepherd's voice can be heard by the sheep. And it is a distinctive voice. It's a voice that is different than any other voice. A few months ago, I bought something from the house, from a store, and the thing came with a bonus gift. And the bonus gift was one of those little devices, the Google Home Mini thing, whatever they call it. I've never used anything like that. I'm not even interested, but it came as a free gift, so who says no to free? So I took it, went back home, and it took me a few days to get to it, but I opened the box, I explored it, I actually Googled a little bit, see how this thing is working. I'm not super tech, so I need a little bit of a review on YouTube or something like that, and it did help. And I said, okay, maybe I'll use it for a few things, you know, just ask a quick question and it talks back to you, kind of fun. Some of you have those devices at home. But the funniest part is that my 7-year-old decided that he wanted to use it as well. And then he got frustrated at one point because that little device would respond to him and tell him that it doesn't recognize his voice. And so he gets all mad. He's like, why is it recognizing your voice but not mine? And I said, well, that's the whole point. You see, the voice of a shepherd has a critical function. The voice of the shepherd is a distinguishing tool. It's a way to separate the true shepherd from anyone else. In verse 5, very interesting, Jesus says, but they, the sheep, will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I hope you understand the gravity of what Jesus says. He doesn't say, well, they're just not recognizing other voices. But he takes it steps further. He says, they will not follow a stranger. He's not doubting it. He's very confident in what he says. He says, they will not. It's a reality. There's no chance for them to follow a stranger. Not only that, but they will run away. If they see a stranger, they'll go away from a stranger. Why? Because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I hope we can play a little video that I found on YouTube. It was, I think it was circulating a little bit on Facebook like a good while ago, but I thought you'd enjoy that. I want to encourage you, commit yourself to reading God's Word, and God will speak to you. He will. His voice will be distinguishable, and it will help you ignore the voices of any false shepherds, anything around you, anything else different than God's very own voice. Those that God knows, He leads. And just like sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd, God's people hear and recognize God's voice. But voice recognition leads to a response. Jesus says, "The sheep follow him." Because they know his voice. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. Those that know God follow him. Our relationship with God is not passive. It is a living relationship. God speaks and we are recognizing, we're hearing, and we're actively listening to his voice. God is leading, and then we're actively following by obeying his word, by following his commands. Hearing Jesus entails heeding him. Knowing him entails following him. God has never called anyone to just be a believer in him. God calls us all to be his disciples, his followers, his learners, his students. He calls us to walk in the steps of Jesus, to acquire day by day, day after day, the character of Jesus, to fulfill God's calling in our lives, to be an active part in the advancement of God's kingdom. Hearing God's voice without living it out is truly an exercise in futility. It is as useless and fruitless as buying a prescription drug, prescription medication, and putting it in a drawer at home and never using it. Those that know God follow him. And finally, as we think about this as a church, it's interesting that all that Jesus describes is in the plural. It is true that God knows each one of us by name. He knows each one of us personally. But God is leading us together as his people, as his flock. We live our individual lives, but we follow him just like a flock would follow the shepherd. In this time that we find ourselves in, as a church, as a community of Christ followers, do we hear God's voice? Do we heed God's commands and his instructions in our worship, in our meetings, in our discussions, in the decisions, in our dreaming for the future, in our search for a new lead pastor, in anything we do? Do we hear God's voice? Remember, those that God knows, he leads. Those that know God, follow him.